Hi, everyone.
Welcome to Geeks Are Wired.
Where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLR, the Internet of Things.
You can also contact us via our website or
email
at geeksarewired@gmail.com or by our phone number at 801-896-4335, or that spells geek.
Or you don't call it or that spells geek. That won't go to us.
You can also check us out on Patreon,
where you get early access to the episode and listen to the live recording and chat with us on Discord or get a special ribbon for Reddit.
And it's patreon.com/superdupercoolgeeksarewired.com. Come on, Morty, let's go. Yeah.com.org.
Definitely check the link in the podcast for that one.
Hashtag in front of that.
Yeah. I think Ted messed it up a little bit. So.
Oh, my bad. Can you tell that we practiced this ahead of time, guys?
And yeah, it was totally orchestrated and fine. It was great.
We planned that.
And Dave is great.
Dave is still great.
That's where we get our supporters, our Patreon page.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes.
Way to go, Dave.
So, an article came out talking about
the smart hub death?
Yes. And that Google and Amazon are going to do it. And I was thinking about this. So
my gut reaction is I hate it.
Okay. I think it's because we've all kind of gotten used to our hubs and we really like our hubs.
The main thing I hate it is that the nice thing about the hub is almost all of it at least can be offline.
Yeah, if your internet goes out and then all of your home automations stop working, that would be very frustrating.
Depending on the hub. Some hubs more than others.
Right.
Like,
but if
Samsung's,
you're with your Madam A's or your Madam G's.
Mr. G's.
Mr. G's or Madam G's. Depends on what the voice you have picked. If either of those, like if there's no internet.
They just don't work.
They don't work. You can't even talk to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about the hubs.
Or various hubs, yeah.
If you're connected to the same Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. you can still modify your house.
Yeah, you can. You have to do it via physical interactions, but
and a lot of your automation should still work. So if you have a thing where you turn off a light and then it turns off a whole bunch of lights, that should still work offline with a hub.
Yeah.
If everything's in the cloud, it's not going to work so well.
So most people, I think, like the idea of all Wi-Fi is because the Wi-Fi stuff is getting cheaper. They don't see this initial investment and they're like, oh, I own my Google and then I set up my scenes through Google. Mm-hmm.
And I can see that, but
I think more items on the internet is bad also. Just having every single thing that you've got directly connected to the internet, I think that's a bad thing.
Well, it connects through your Wi-Fi.
So there's a difference.
But we have IPv6 coming out. Everything can be directly connected.
Well, not even that, but okay, so they're,
it's not coming out. It's been out for years, but, you know.
Yeah. IPv7. That's the future. It comes out with Giga 5, 6.
We aren't going to need that until, the year 3000 or something.
Oh.
Hey, you don't know that. If we ever get out on the spacefaring, because then we'll need stuff. Right now we have enough to cover, every single square inch. There's enough IPs to cover every single square inch of the Earth, I think, right now.
I thought it was grains of sand or something.
Or something
like
that.
Something
but if we ever expand
it's an absurd
out,
number.
We're going to need more.
Yeah, we've said that before, too. We don't need any more.
That's what we thought about IPv4. What happened to 5?
They skipped that one. Wasn't enough.
It's like Windows.
So the other thing, though. So with we talked about last week, Wi-Fi issues on the 66% of the top 100 things sold on Amazon.
Vulnerabilities and whatnot.
This is now on your network instead of going through a hub. Among the other things, if you put so many things on your own Wi-Fi, your router will go, nope, I'm out, pass. And you will just not do
it. Depends on the router, but yeah.
But how do you get around this? Google's Nest and Amazon's Eero. You're spending money on a hub alternative now.
Most people's subnets are only, they only allow 250 devices.
Yeah, if you think about it though, 250 devices is a lot. What smart things are you going to have in your house? You're going to have light bulbs, switches, maybe a few appliances.
Some people's houses have probably 70 bulbs.
Okay, let's go through all your doors. they're going to have at least a sensor on their door. Just say you have a, let's say you have front door and back door.
And you have a sensor in all your windows for if they break, maybe.
If you're, well, if you're, let's just.
Or if you buy the smart blinds.
We go with the windows. We could doorbell, doorknobs on at least outside. Bridges is what people are trying to do. Stoves, maybe.
Microwaves.
I could see like 100.
There is a MADA-enabled microwave.
I could see like 100 devices if you're like, we just like wired to the teeth.
Just saw a Wi-Fi crock pot today.
Oh, yeah. we did. Yeah. That way you can unlock your front door with
what,
it.
What, like a sous vide or whatever?
Yeah, I have a sous vide. Like,
you can have
got it.
Connect that.
So it's I think it will happen.
Okay, how about this? Somebody else is talking about he had to upgrade his router because his router was gave him so many issues.
Five TVs. I mean, how many TVs? I know Bill has like a TV in every room in his house.
I have two.
Remember, I bought some dumb TVs, but they still have Google.
Yeah, assistants. They got built in.
or
got
Google
a Chrome,
add-on. Yeah,
Chromecast stuck to them. Yeah. So
game consoles.
Mm-hmm. You've mm-hmm. got, you know, I
and all that's your not voice assistants,
your laptops and your phones and your mm-hmm. tablets and your.
So you mentioned to get around this, they're just going to use a hub alternative, as you called it, but it's just going to be a hub provided by that manufacturer.
That's not called a hub.
Correct.
And so we're back to going to a million different hubs is what you're saying.
So they're getting rid of a hub with a hub.
So they're getting rid of, like, let's say Samsung SmartThings, the, what, $60 to $100 hub
mm-hmm.
for the Google Nest or Amazon Eero mesh Wi-Fi that, what, are they going for $100, $250?
Each,
the thing is like a pack you're calling it mesh Wi-Fi, but that sounds like it's got to be the router for the house, and I don't want Google being my router.
Amazon?
I don't want Amazon being my router.
I would much rather have Google than Amazon.
If you're as neurotic as Bill, you'll have multiple assistants in your home, so there could be multiple.
Bill's
ones.
House is going to be crazy. So, he's going to have three Wi-Fis.
Yeah, he has very very many madams right now.
And misters.
His wife's okay with it.
Man,
Bixby's actually trying to make a comeback, a bigger one.
Oh, yeah, I'm so pissed about that. So I got this really little horrible button on the side of my phone that's right next to my volume that I hit accidentally on a fairly regular basis.
And you can't
basis.
Turn that one off.
And I had it disabled. I had it completely disabled. Then they updated Bixby and disabled the ability to turn it off. And you go into their FAQ, and they're like, how do you turn it off, is the question, in their frequently asked questions. And they're like, oh, you can't. And so I sent in a support ticket, and they're like, oh, yeah, we've expanded the things that it can do, and now it can't be turned off. And it's like BS. Like, I got the Galaxy S9, and I don't like it. I don't like the Bixby on it. I don't like the curved screen, because I'll be touching at something at the edge of the screen, and
it goes behind your,
and I can't make it go around the curve, so I don't have that control at the edge of my screen. So it's completely worthless. So
I have one thing to add to that real quick. I just wanted Google's Wi-Fi pack, pack of three of them. This would replace your having a hub. $260. But yes, you will upgrade to that point where you're suddenly realizing you need it. Instead of starting at that point.
So the nice thing about having the hubs, though, is that a lot of them, they're already a mesh network, and they will broadcast, like, they will relay commands.
The Z-Wave devices do
and
that.
Zigbees
and
as well.
Zigbees, yeah.
Which means you don't need a mesh. They just need these devices.
They just
they're
make
already
a mesh on their own.
They're already a mesh network on Z-Wave.
It's like
of
your
on Wi-Fi.
Phone and your laptop and all your other things.
And the only reason why the devices themselves that can't do that, like the Wi-Fi-enabled ones, because it would take too much power to do that.
Yeah. And then you're already suck at security.
Yeah, you're pushing mm-hmm. 2.4 or 5 gigahertz instead of the Z-Wave.
It's probably only 2.4.
Yeah. The
let's be honest.
The 260 for the Wi-Fi routers is pretty reasonable in my opinion, because the routers you're looking at, if you're looking for a high-end router that has the features that these are going to have, you're looking at $260.
They are probably reliable. But
if it's got the hub built in, you're getting two devices instead of one. But then that rings up the point of, if your hub fails that's in your built-in Google stuff, is everything done? And you can't just replace the hub. You're going to have to replace the entire thing. It's kind of like having a router and modem in one. If the router dies, you have to throw away the modem.
Mm-hmm. How long has that sticker been on the front of your phone?
Oh, a long time. I got a little Lambda on the front of my phone.
I like it. I approve.
So
completely, thanks. Utter irrelevant though.
also with that,
we're talking about the Samsung. Since we started talking about Samsung, we'll talk about their new, what would I call it? The new gimmick phone.
The Fold?
Like, okay. I'm very...
Okay, no, real quick, on your button. I won't get back to your button.
Okay.
It's all still right there. They actually have doubled down on the button.
Yeah. No, yeah. I won't buy any more Samsung devices. I have a tablet, and I've got the phone.
Yeah, and the smart things.
Well, that's not a Samsung. Like, that's different.
Why?
It's a different... It's
like buying a fridge.
Yeah, no, it's seriously. There's because there's different branches of the thing, and they're mobile devices. I'm not going to spend any more money on them.
So I would say that the folding phone is less gimmicky than them pushing a phone that has 5G on it. That is definitely on the gimmicky where that one costs quite... They haven't even released the price on that one yet. But the folding one, when they brought it out, cheers. Everyone's super happy. Set the $2,000 price tag.
Yeah.
The crowd literally booed.
Yeah, $2,000 is a lot of money. I had a hard time spending $2,000 on the nicest laptop I've ever purchased.
Yes.
And that thing has a lot more utility for me than a phone.
I don't even think I've ever spent $2,000 on a laptop.
Yeah, I had a hard time doing it. It has a lot of bells and whistles in it.
It's a phone. It's a tablet. I bought a tablet, a nice tablet, a really nice tablet. I mean, it's not the top end one, but it does everything I need to do for like a couple $100s. I have a phone. It was literally a buy one, get one. So basically, the price is just chopped in half.
Mm-hmm.
Couple $100s again. Guess what? I literally have this thing for a quarter of the price.
Yeah. I mean, phones at this point, you know, you want some decent battery life, and all of them are the same other than that, mostly because of specs. They're all coming with the same nice fancy screens, you know. You have to choose between if you want, like, a 5-inch phone or a 5.5-inch phone or whatever, but, like, your options are limited. So if you buy a last gen, it's going to be cheap, and it's going to do everything you want anyway.
Or not a flagship. Because that's the other thing. Even, like I said, my tablet is not the flagship. It's, like, the step below. My phone, on the other hand, is a flagship. Still... not a problem.
Right. And for $1,900, like, you're getting a phone and a tablet, but it's going to be a clunky phone and
it's going to be twice as thick than a
weird tablet that's going to be roughly square.
That's something else also. Is this folding. Do you remember Trapper Keepers back in the day? You're talking about, but you're dealing with plastic. Okay.
Oh, we had this whole Trapper Keeper stuff. Anna and I did. Most people do not know what a Trapper Keeper is.
So whatever, you have this. Okay, basically, let's just go with a 3-ring binder. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You open it and close it over the year.
And it wears out over time.
What is going to happen? So how long will it take for this to break?
They have simulated that it can do like 10th out, like some absurd amount of folds and still be okay.
I think absurd amount is not as absurd as they wish it would have.
I think it's supposed to be millions because they invested like $20 million in developing.
So unless
this
you're
tech,
like opening and closing it all day, which some people would do as a fidget,
see that just by that. But also,
define okay.
So
because maybe it won't break, but it'll start to be crappy.
I think
in
it's
that
before,
scene.
But like at that time, I think is when you start seeing.
Yeah,
stress fractures.
They did put an insane amount of money into it, though, and it's some sort of lamination process, so they are separate layers inside of the phone, so that way they don't bend and hurt each other. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to slide across each other, but this tech is interesting enough that it was actually stolen by some Chinese companies, and so...
Was it called Huawei?
Probably, they had some arrests over it, and... Samsung really was like, hey, we invested our money in this. Like, stop giving it away.
Okay. So. I will admit, 12 gigs of RAM. I think it starts at...
That's so much.
That is an insane amount for a phone.
Oh, I think it starts at... I thought it started at 256, but maybe it starts at 512. Speaking of, one of their phones actually has a terabyte of memory. Expandable memory as well.
That's I like the expandable memory because being able to throw a card in there is super useful. But I mean, flash memory is coming down. I got a really nice external hard drive. It's 1 terabyte, and it was like $160, and it's waterproof, shockproof, everything. And so the price is coming down a lot.
And that's really what I would rather see than you know, give us this fancy folding screen. No, give me a phone that I can drop in a swimming pool and go retrieve it after like 10 minutes.
So it's one thing I like about my phone.
And like you say that, they're water resistant. They're not waterproof.
So they're waterproof up until like...
Mine is 5 meters.
Yeah, something like that. So you can still drop it in a pool of water.
Water-resistant because lawsuit.
Yeah. They don't say waterproof because if they say waterproof, someone's going to put it in like 30 feet of water and then it's going to break and they're going to be like, you said it was waterproof.
They used to be IP65 rated and that was splash-proof essentially and like a little bit of water. Now they're IP68. That's like a couple meters and you're still good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dispute the waterproofedness. Water resistance.
How about my Fitbit? I take this thing into a pool,
swimming and stuff,
and even the hot springs where there's stuff. The worst thing is usually there's just the gunk that, you know, from the
springs up on it. Yeah, and the other thing is I want a phone
too, I think,
that I don't have to buy a $45 case for, that I can just drop, and the screen's not going to shatter all over the place.
That and that's actually one thing with this because of the. Touchscreen, because the fingerprint is on, to unlock it is on the front. You have to, and actually some of theirs too, you either have to buy their special covers, which I'm kind of curious how the cover is going to work on the folding screen.
It's just going to be a latex condom.
Maybe, why not? But on the ones that don't fold, if you didn't work with them and the type of material doesn't accept your fingerprint through it, they have to actually cut a hole out on it so you can put your fingerprint on it. So it can read your fingerprint. Along with that, though, have you guys seen the hole punch? Because they got rid of the notch. They got rid of the head. They still have a chin,
though.
No,
I haven't seen it on this phone.
See, they have this, the way it goes up in the edge and it kind of drifts off.
So yeah.
It's up in the corner.
Oh, so it just has a little circle out of the top right corner instead of the big notch in the middle.
Yeah.
I've heard that companies are working on putting things under the display, so getting rid of the notch completely.
And then some phones even have like a little pop-up thing, which I think is kind of clever.
I still want the chin's worthless.
Yeah, moving parts on a phone though, like I think that's gonna break.
People
people are gonna fidget with that.
I agree, but I still think it's
not
clever.
Latch or something at some point, or not pop open, and then you're just stuck.
And anything that like breaks a smooth line is gonna catch on stuff and break that way too. So if it's popped out when it's in your pocket and you pull it out of your pocket and it's going to catch on your pocket, you do that enough times and it just comes right off.
Mm-hmm.
So as it,
you're not wrong.
The S10 Plus has the two front-facing cameras to try to get the depth.
What did that say? Six cameras? There was like
two.
No, total.
Oh yeah,
it has six cameras.
They probably have two
front-facing,
two on back,
four
and
rear.
Two on the front.
No,
they have
two
four
on
the
front
back.
And four on the back.
What's the fourth?
It's for like AR and extra depth perception and extra random Samsung technology because they're for the software. Because
I thought
Google,
you only needed two for the depth perception.
Google says they can take care of it with one. And their software, I admit, is pretty high up there. But that's the other thing is that this having Android, that was total like a sub point on it.
The stereoscopic pictures coming back because I remember that was a thing like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, makes good porn.
Hand cut.
I broke everybody, Anna.
And this is a nice thin phone. And they still have the earbud jack. They have not gotten rid of it.
Ooh, that's a nice feature.
Yeah.
On what?
They have the earphone jack still.
I thought they got rid of it.
No, they're one company who's actually fighting that one.
I know they were, but I thought I read an article that said Samsung, a company who was fighting, like saying, oh, look, we got an earphone jack, is finally getting rid of it on one of their phones.
Well, if they got on one, I didn't see it because
I thought it was the folding one.
Maybe.
You know, I'm sad about Fold. These price tags and like the gimmickiness of it because and like the Bixby because I had just a Samsung Galaxy S3 and that was my favorite phone I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I had a Galaxy Note and that one was enjoyable, but it had a few issues, didn't have the battery life I wanted. But I mean, if they made just a basic like the S3 again, but just a little bit better battery life, I would be ecstatic.
So I just want a phone that doesn't load all their own proprietary bloatware garbage on it.
Oh, no, I'm okay with that because PCs even do that. I want to be able to uninstall it.
You should look into
a
Pixel,
yeah, that's
Ted.
The same.
They're pretty solid.
They still install their own bloatware. Apple still installs their own bloatware.
They do, but you can uninstall most of it.
But they're
most
the,
of it. On a PC,
Google.
I can uninstall everything.
They designed the OS, so I mean the bloatware that they include is probably stuff you already use and want.
I'm wrong. There is one thing on my Windows machine I can't uninstall.
Windows Explorer, or Internet Explorer.
Edge and Explorer. I guess two.
I actually probably can on mine because mine's a UK version.
Ah, so if you get that version.
Long story on that one.
You're correct. Apparently, the fold does not
see.
But
I was right.
Besides sort it being of. A thick, when it's folded up, a thick phone.
I still think it's weird enough that
yeah, you got a clunky phone and a clunky
in.
Tablet if you get this thing.
Mm-hmm. And I had a little bit of an argument with Joey earlier today about this, but LG had the same thing. The only difference was there was a little bit of a gap in the middle, and he's yes, like, "That's so, not a folding phone. So that's a clamshell phone." But that was the only one.
Too, with the
DS.
A flip phone is still a folding phone,
but only if it has two screens,
so,
right?
So the DS. Usually the games don't.
That was my.
Usually
argument.
The yeah. games don't like go all the way down to the second screen. They have different things on the second
Some
screen than
them.
On the first screen.
Other ones would be the whole thing.
But the old LG, I can't remember what it was called, but you flipped it open and it was designed so that the screen would extend to that. It didn't do different things on the Alias too.
Yeah, that was basically two screens.
Yeah, and that was
except
just
for
two
the
screens.
Other one. The bottom one was e-ink, but
yeah,
the.
But
the
if they're different types of screens, that's different.
I know. The 2DS, like, you know how the 3DS was two screens, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 2DS, it looks like two screens, but it's one screen. They just have bezels around it.
So Bill pulled up a picture here, and it's...
That's not it. That's
not
the phone.
It's got an e-ink on one screen.
That
it's like a book.
That is not the phone
left
I'm talking
side's
about.
An e-ink, no. And the right side is a display.
And that's not what I'm talking about.
I've wanted a phone for a while, actually.
These are PDAs. These aren't even
right.
like
Yeah,
right.
those are PDAs. He's looking up the wrong thing.
What I really want is a phone where the back is an e-ink display. And then you could like put pictures there or you could read a book on it. And
that,
it would be
you know,
low
screens
usage.
Are to such
so
a point
kind of
that
like
they could
phones.
Put two panels on the same screen.
Oh, yeah. You could probably embed e-ink over a normal
yeah.
display. But then you have to clear the e-ink if you want to use the underlying display.
I still
display.
Think that would be better because I don't want a screen on the back of my phone, personally.
Might make you use it differently.
So it looks like LG is, or they're still putting out dual screen phones like that. You can get a ZTE Axum for $180. That's a dual screen with the gap in the middle. And then there's the Z99, which is $249. But for the one I'm thinking of is like 8 years ago that they had
ZTE something.
Oh,
well, that was ZTE was the one that I just found, but I just Googled like, you know, dual screen phone, whatever, but.
Whoa. This ZTE Axum is a dual screen phone. It's $249.99 at Walmart right now.
Right.
You just have a little bit of a divider between your screens.
And I guarantee
once
fold?
You start.
Does
it fold this way
it's,
or
it's
this
just
way?
A hinge.
Yeah,
I know,
it's
but
it's on a hinge. It folds.
It's like having two phones.
Yeah, it's like you have two phones with some duct tape.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
But that's, I mean,
I
that's,
was just wondering
that's
how
honestly what
that's the
theirs
same
looks
thing.
Like.
Yeah, it's the same thing. The only difference is they got rid of that line in the middle. I guarantee you, once you start using it a bunch, you're not going to notice.
So, actually, it's kind of interesting where it clicks open.
Yeah, looking at this this video of it opening, it looks like there's a hair of light coming through between the displays.
For
so,
a moment, yeah.
So maybe they don't have it like perfectly laminated. Maybe it's like two screens.
I'm telling you, it's overblown bullcrap.
They have one at a CES. The thing is that the thing in Las Vegas?
Yeah,
that's
so.
One of the many things in Las Vegas.
You're right.
But yeah, CES is Consumer Electronics Show.
They
usually
had a thing at CES where, like, it was a folding phone kind of like this, but the screen was legit like it was curved.
Mm-hmm.
But when it closed, you had like a gap this big. It was like on the
a
inside
gap,
part,
like a 2-inch gap.
Like a 2-inch gap. Sorry,
because they can't see.
I know
your fingers at home.
Can't see my fingers.
But yeah, so I mean, these phones. They've been doing it for years, and like nobody cares. That one even has a headphone jack. So boom,
yeah,
take that, Bixby. Screw you, Bixby.
Bixby
so
much. It's not Bixby's fault. It's Samsung's fault.
Samsung's fault for pushing Bixby on us.
So if you actually went to the show, also they gave everyone the headphones.
Oh, the new ones?
The new ones. The Samsung Galaxy Buds. Which, ready?
I'm ready.
Have Bixby built in. And
that's amazing.
Like I said, they're doubling down
Ted is
on all of this.
Shaking his head right now.
they wait? So do these come with the phone, or do you have to buy them separately?
You have to buy them separately.
Are they cheaper?
How much
than
are they?
The AirPods.
How expensive are the AirPods?
139 pounds.
150.
They are $1 cheaper.
Ooh.
149.
149.
But their battery life is up to 6 hours, which is longer than Apple's. And there's another big brand that's apparently out there everyone's comparing.
Beats.
Sure, why not?
I don't know. I'm just making
Beats is also owned by Apple.
The charging case only gives it an additional 7 hours, which makes Apple destroy that. But
Apple's has a 24-hour charge in their pack.
Until Apple gets it, this case has wireless charging capabilities. Mm-hmm. And the new phones, Samsung did beat Apple to the punch on this. They can be wirelessly charged, and they can wirelessly charge other things. Not these headphones, but their phones.
So the phone, like if this were wirelessly chargeable,
your headphones were headphone
it
jack.
Would be like you put it there, and then it would start charging.
You set it on your phone.
Yes.
You have to explain to the listeners.
I know. I was showing him in case he didn't understand.
And no, then, I knew what was going on.
Yeah. So you place the headphone case onto the phone where it would normally wirelessly charge, except for it can emit the charge to the headphone case.
Yes.
And it'll charge the headphones.
I still hate Bixby.
And it could probably charge other phones and stuff.
I think that'd have to be certified in all honesty, but yeah.
Yeah. And also their 5G is the new Qualcomm. Big old 5G, extra battery, bigger battery, better processor.
Joey's
same life expectancy of staying on.
Joey's truck wirelessly charges phones.
Yeah, my truck has QI charging pad built into the center console, and you just press a button, set your phone there, and away you go.
You have to press a button?
You can turn on and off the wireless charger. I'm assuming you don't want it charging all the time, or maybe you want to turn it off. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, some people don't like it because it's kind of harder on your batteries
because they get the heat up. Set your wallet down on it; it may destroy your cards.
And if you have a pop socket on it, it'll try to charge, but it won't.
My pop socket.
Yeah, so it's got a button that you can just press on the dash to turn off the wireless charging pad if you want.
I have a really cool new pop socket. They're newer ones.
What they should do is make pop sockets that conduct the wireless charging. Yeah. And then it just relays it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if pop socket.
I don't know. If one of those malfunctioned, though, it could zap the crap out of someone.
It's fine.
It's a wake up. That's all it is. It's like coffee in the morning.
Something about coffee. Folgers. Yeah. But except for pop socket. Malfunctioning pop socket. I don't know.
But, you know, the thing that wakes you up. Pop sockets zapping you in the morning. I forgot.
Instead of those watches that vibrate to make you wake up, you just have a zap you instead.
I wonder if you could do that with a wrist, like put it around your wrist instead, just as a side thought. Because I liked the bracelet to wake you up that way, and I really enjoyed waking up that way. But my problem is when I'm sleeping, I tend to cuddle and wrap my arms around, like slide my arm underneath a pillow or something like that. And then it goes all the way up to my forearm and is like too tight and damages it and hurts my arm in the middle
my
of the night.
iPhone has
and
a
stuff.
Not
get,
my iPhone my
get an
my,
ankle
my,
bracelet.
That's
my
that's
watch
what I'm wondering if we could
has a program that will wake you up too.
Right, but you have the same problem. Like, I mean, you don't because you're single.
But no, I mean it. This is as far as it will go up.
Yeah, and it'll go up and up and up, and then it's going to be too tight on your arm.
And then you wake up without a hand.
It's a problem for sure. And plus, it would like dig into Anna's neck. She'd complain.
Yeah, just get a choker necklace that vibrates to wake you up. That'll be good.
It constricts to wake you up, so you wake up gasping.
I would think Anna would not be in favor of the zapper either, because
I wouldn't want to be zapped right next to you.
But speaking of the watch, I was hearing some good things about their watch.
Yeah, they probably
also
have
includes
Bixby
as well.
Oh, man.
Screw that watch.
Yeah, they've apparently done a lot of stuff. So the thing also about Bixby is it's supposed to be less like Google is where you go to ask and learn things. Bixby is the one that you actually tell to do things. It's kind of like how Amazon works really well too. Hey, go do these things. Google is really like, I don't know these things. Please tell me about them.
So, Bill, you have, like, every voice assistant I've ever heard of. How do you feel about Bixby?
So that's literally one I don't have.
Yeah, you don't have
Oh, man, Bill, you're slacking.
You need to get a Samsung phone.
I was really close. I was on the edge. It's like on the edge when I almost got a Windows phone because I thought they were going to do well. And then they dropped the ball.
I liked the idea of the Windows
phone. I really wanted them to do well, and then they didn't.
I didn't even – I was willing to jump the – boat from Google to go to them. I'm like, hey, this will be great.
My
next, and I won't even go to Apple.
Yeah, my next phone was going to be a Windows phone, and then they announced that they were discontinuing it. And I was like, well, I guess it's not going to be a Windows phone.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Bill, I'll sell you my Galaxy S9 for $600.
Ted will donate it. He hates Bixby.
Then
I was going to say, I know how much you dislike the phone. How about $50?
Thanks, no, Dave.
Okay, how about $350?
$350.
I need to buy a new phone.
You can buy phones for $50 nowadays. It might not be a nice phone, but
burn your house down.
You can just get it. You can just go back to having a flip phone.
You mean a foldable phone?
I almost wouldn't mind just going back. Like, I loved my Lotus. The LG Lotus was my favorite phone. Little square phone. It had a full keyboard.
It was really nice, yeah.
I liked the Nokias.
Such a pretty phone.
You know, battery life for a week. Like, you got your game.
My favorite phone I ever had was the NV2.
You could flush that Nokia down the toilet. It could go through it. They could clog up the toilets, and they would, like, go in and dig it out, and you could, like, rinse it off and use it the next day. You'd get E. coli, but you could use it the next day.
The Lotus was really cute, too, because it looked like a little lady's, like, compact. Aww. And it could just kind of flip open. Yeah. And
the Nokia really small was enough the epitome of phones. That, like, that was, like, the peak. You could drop that thing, and instead of breaking your screen, you'd break the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so the Lotus was nice because it had a little screen that was, like, you could put pictures in, like, so when the phone rang and it had the little picture on the screen.
Keyboard.
It had a full keyboard, and it was kind of small, but it did make... The one thing that I didn't like about
it... BlackBerry style keyboard.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't like about it was that the number pad was on there. And so if someone was like, dial 855-GEEK, I wouldn't know what numbers to push because the keyboard layout was already there. So you didn't know which numbers corresponded to which... Mm. Or what letters corresponded to the numbers on your thing. So
so you're talking about the brick, the classic.
The old brick. Mm-hmm.
Nokia 3310.
Yeah, those
I had
are
one of
phones.
Those.
I think everyone had one of these.
I didn't.
These phones literally were every cell phone company sold them. And if you had a phone, it wasn't even that hard to get them. They were cheap. They lasted forever.
And you've got one in a drawer somewhere in your house right now that you could go to, push the power button, and it would turn on.
It has no service, but it turns on.
They still don't they still have analog service?
No.
I know they supposedly discontinued it.
No,
but
it's shut down. And 2G is dead. And 3G is going to be turned off by the end of this
year. All I know is that whenever I had my older phones, it would periodically still click over to analog every once in a while.
And if Trump has his way, we will have 6G by the end of 2019.
Analog should have been on cell phones. I believe all the carriers shut them down about a year-ish ago.
Okay, that would make sense.
Well, around the same time they shut down 2G. And like I said, 3G is... Verizon, I think, is the last one. They said they are keeping their phone 3G on until the end of this year. So on December 31st, 3G phones are basically dead. Only 3G only phones.
So if you have a 3G phone, then you
have to upgrade. Hmm. But by then, two more cities will have 5G.
Man, I've got an idea. So we just make a modem that you carry around in your pocket that translates your 3G to your 4G, and then you're good to go. Ted can have his, like, really
old Lotus.
Yeah.
Well, I think you might need... Did that one take 3G?
I don't know. Probably. It was 3G's been around for a while.
It was a 2G. I think it was a 3G as well.
I think 3G was around for, like, 10 years. Like, in common use.
Well, it still took these big ones. That's why everyone's all talking about. That's why I was saying that, like, Samsung's 5G. It's like, come on. There's barely any cities that have it. And it's going to be, like, in a year, we're still going to only have, like, the big, big cities.
Has a 2-megapixel camera, guys.
Ooh. Yeah. And the cover, the clamshell cover, if you look at it, it's got this really cool pattern. Yeah, it's got the paisley pattern on it. Kind of in there.
Was it just painted or was it actually?
It was about. It was textured.
Nice. Yeah, I liked that.
Yeah, but I loved that phone so much. It wasn't a smartphone in any sense of the word, but yeah, it was. It was a nice little phone. We used them for a long time. EVDO.
Yeah, 3G.
Rev Zero. So.
It has Bluetooth.
Hey, if you want to.
What 1.0?
Make
2.1.
If you want to make your Madame A swear, you can ask her what how to say 100 in Welsh. The big G doesn't know Welsh, but the Madame A does. Just
so
a
how
fun
to say
fact.
100 in Welsh?
That's correct, yeah. Also, we noticed that the big G, your Google device, used to censor out bad words, and it stopped in the last like couple weeks.
Yeah, we realized that when asking about the name of that cat.
H.P. Lovecraft's cat's name. Mm. If you ask it what its cat's name, and it used to bleep out part of his name, and now it just says it, which I thought was quite interesting. Yeah, so. Or there's a song by Happy Hardcore called Who the F is Alice, and it would bleep that out, and it does not do that anymore. So your Google Home will swear to you now, which is pretty exciting.
Well, there's some protective
if you're into swearing
stuff for settings you can also change.
Probably. But we didn't change any settings.
Okay, it might have 4G. Which
what?
Is kind it might have 4G. And it's hard to tell whether it because it has certain bandwidths accepted. The Lotus.
Oh my gosh, you're looking way too far
into it. I have spent way too much time on this actually. I'm done.
All right, let's segue right into Alita.
Oh, didn't you talk about that last week? Oh, you didn't.
No, we didn't.
All right.
What if some of us wanted to watch it?
Well, you can, but I would suggest you don't because it sucks. I won't spoil it. This will be a spoiler-free...
I was actually thinking of watching How to Train Your Dragon tonight.
Spoiler-free zone. But Alita sucked for the following reasons. One, the ending was very, very unsatisfying. Not going to say what it was, but I was very disappointed with the ending.
Was it your standard ending?
No, it didn't end the way that I wanted it to.
She die?
It kind of left it open for a sequel, maybe? I don't know. But... And then
he didn't say yes or no.
That's because I'm not spoiling anything. And then, so all the good characters, with the exception of one, a bit part nurse that could have just been a robot. She wasn't, but she could have been, and it wouldn't have made a difference to the character. Were white people. The most of the antagonists, the bad guys, were people of color.
Hmm.
And. Like, the plot just kind of dragged on, in my opinion. So, like, it wasn't good. The effects were good. The battle scenes were decent. They had some cool action sequences.
So,
that
is it like, whenever I went to go see Pacific Rim, I went there because it had mechs and nice.
Yeah, if that's what you want,
sequences.
If that's what you want, go see it, for sure. All right. But if you're looking for a decent plot, don't. I bet. Based on like the underlying themes and stuff like that, I bet that the anime or manga or whatever it's based on is probably pretty good. But the movie, not so much. Was pretty crappy. Anna, I think, liked it more than I did. But
yeah, I liked it more, but I didn't actually follow the manga itself.
Well, neither did I.
But so I can't really say how true it is to the actual storyline or anything. But I guess the action sequences were pretty decent. The look of the movie, if you want like colorful, pretty looking movie, it was a pretty good movie overall for those aspects.
What did you think about the love story?
I personally did not really like the love story.
Yeah,
itself.
You didn't feel it. You didn't ship them.
Yeah, I totally did not kind of feel that romantic connection between the two main characters that were in the film.
So I gotta wonder, does it ever explain why her eyes are bigger?
I mean, it does in the commercial. She's an android. Yeah,
I know, but I'm looking at the pictures of the manga and the thing. They're not bigger eyes than like your standard anime eyes. So yeah. They should, by all rights, be the same size.
No, I think that was just a stylistic choice.
Okay.
To let you know that she's an android.
It's just...
because the face is pretty realistic looking, so they wanted to let you know.
Well, it's like uncanny valley.
Not an android, a cyborg.
Cyborg.
She has human parts, but mostly robot.
But what about her... is her brain?
It's just her brain, I think.
Oh, her brain is...
yeah, I think it's just her brain. Everything else is
So robotic. She's... what was that one called?
Ghost in the Shell?
No. Ghost in the Shell, yeah. So she's one of those. Because that's the only thing that's biological on her either.
I'm not sure. I felt like the Ghost in the Shell, because it wasn't fully, like, they'd be brains, but they could also remote control stuff. And I thought it was just more about, like, the Ghost in the Shell was, like, that I don't know what that is a human soul that they've somehow been able to, like, move from a wetware to hardware.
Right, but so. I just mean that her actual, like, the main character's construction, mm-hmm. she was a robot with a human brain.
Right, right.
Like a organic
the
brain.
The only
still.
Thing organic, I believe, was the brain.
Okay.
The way so it's I understood the same idea, it. Then. Got yeah, it. Yeah. Yeah, but it is like Ghost in the Shell, like the anime and the movie and whatnot, in that there are people of varying levels of
cyborgism.
Yeah, hardware versus software, or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
So, but I think that the anime or manga or whatever probably is pretty good, but
just
skip the movie.
The Western adaptation of it isn't great.
Yeah, and we were having discussions about the director, and I like his older stuff, but he hasn't made anything
decent. So did you find
decent.
Out it was?
So the director wasn't who we thought it was, because when it was actually kind of seen on screen, we thought that James Cameron was actually the director, but there is actually another guy that was directing it. Apparently,
Robert Rodriguez.
Yes, he was the one that directed it, but James Cameron was actually one of the writers of the actual movie.
Yeah. But I haven't liked anything that he's been in, beginning with and including Avatar. Anything that James Cameron has had to do with since that point. So, you know, Titanic was okay.
Why don't you like Avatar?
It was boring. Mm-hmm. It was very predictable.
You're right.
And
just Pocahontas, essentially.
No, it was Ferngully, but
they're both the same.
I like the ideas and the
and that's
the
fine. You can
tell
the same story over again.
Terminator Genesis, or Salvation, or whatever it was. No, that's I never got into Salvation. Maybe it was just Genesis.
I didn't. Salvation was a video game.
Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah.
Isn't 2 supposed to be coming out soon?
2020.
It's in post-production already.
Holy crap.
Comes out. It's supposed
so is
to,
3.
It's supposed to come out during the holiday season. It is going to directly compete.
With Harry Potter.
Against, actually, no, it was supposed to come out this year originally. It was going to directly compete against Star Wars.
Oh.
They were going to, and they moved it.
Because they knew they
James Cameron blinked.
They can't. I mean, yeah, Avatar was hugely popular, but
not as much as Star Wars.
That would actually like enter the or just you know just deal with the question like, "Congrats, you made the most money. Go one on one." No, yeah, I can't go with that.
Okay,
just curious.
So yeah.
Okay, Judgment Day. No,
if you want to watch cyborgs fight, then by all means go watch Alita.
What about Avatar?
Otherwise, skip it.
Yeah, we just talked about that.
Yeah, I told you I hate it. Shut up. Including and beyond since Avatar. Like, I liked True Lies. I liked the Terminators, Aliens.
Well, he didn't do the latest Terminator.
But, yeah, they've just stunk. So, sorry, James Cameron, but
I'm
just not a fan.
So, yeah, he wrote stuff, though, with those, the shorts mm-hmm. and the movies.
Yep.
Apparently the Oscars is going to be live on Sunday on ABC.
Cool.
Oh, we don't care.
I don't care either. I'm just saying. It's in the background of the thing we're looking at.
Yep.
All right, what's next? Because we've spent like 30 minutes talking about phones and whatnot, and then like 10 talking about this movie.
Hey, why don't we go back to hubs?
Or we could talk
about
electric
cars. Yeah, we did start there
electric
and then just
cars.
Completely left it. For dead.
We can talk a little bit of electric cars, huh?
Electric cars?
Okay, yeah. What about them?
Well,
did you have that?
They're
in the
electric.
What was it? Elon Musk said that he's going to have a fully automated car on the market in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Well, by the end of the year. And yeah. He says the only thing that's going to slow him down is government regulation. And even though it'll be fully available, it also may not be fully working.
So
it actually came back working.
Firmware updates is what you're saying.
It may have some hiccuping. Like they still meet me. The whoever ends up buying the first one's definitely going to be a quality assurance tester.
Oh,
well,
God.
So the thing is, I imagine it'll be the same kind of thing with their with the autopilot that they've got now, right? Mm-hmm. Where it drives and it'll take the wheel and whatnot. But as soon as you like touch a pedal or wiggle the steering wheel, you can override it right away. And people like to blame the autopilot for like crashes, but it's very clear that you're supposed to pay attention mm-hmm. while driving the car. So there was a wreck just recently where some like the markings on the road were kind of screwy and the car didn't interpret it correctly. So the autopilot drove it in between the exit and the freeway, which is, you know, right where those mm-hmm, stuff mm-hmm. and the guy crashed. But he full on blamed it on the autopilot, and Tesla's like, no, dude, you literally, even if the autopilot is fully engaged and turning the wheel, like you can grab it, and unless you're so weak that you can't turn the wheel normally, you're going to be able to override that thing, number one.
And I think this one you won't need to, like he's talking about fully not touching.
I think Google's is
like every 250,000 miles you need to touch the steering wheel. Apple's is, I don't know what Apple is thinking about this. You have to, for Apple's stuff that they're doing, I forgot there's this code named, you have to touch the steering wheel every mile. I'm like, you're basically like the cars that, like Tesla's current version where you have to actually occasionally, like, or BMWs, you occasionally have to touch the wheel.
They didn't start like that.
I know. But I feel like we
they were pressured
having,
into that.
Yeah, but I feel like instead of having this giant, big, you know, we're transporting humans, and there is a lot of problems that could happen with this, and a lot of lives. We should start off small, and like, there's colleges that have like, we deliver burritos in this little robot. And the funny thing is, like, one of them, the robot actually caught on fire, and had a bat, and just died right there. Okay, who was hurt? Nobody. The burrito was not delivered.
The burrito was hurt.
So the best part about this, the college actually had a little ceremony for the robot.
Funeral?
Yeah, they everyone laid down flowers and everything. They're like, poor robot.
Well, I mean, think about it. That's a big loss for a college. The burrito delivery robot burning to the ground. That's sad.
It was just one of them.
But no.
You also can control how it travels. Like with the roads, not all the roads in the world are the same. But on a university, you can, you know, hey, we're having problems with this sidewalk right here.
Fix the sidewalk.
Yeah,
they're kind of doing that though. Sorry. I mean,
that would be helpful too. But like, what I was going with was that road markings just suck. Like, to get rid of them, they will grind into the asphalt a little bit, and then just be done with it. Because for most, like, for your human drivers, that's fine. We know that's not a line. My eyesight thinks that's a line every single time, so it thinks I'm going over it.
That's a good point.
Going into other lanes. And if I had the smarter one, like in the Forester and the Outback, because mm-hmm. I have a cross check, it will actually move the wheel on you. So I wonder what it would do in those situations.
I've had that happen a few times, and it detects like either the tar that gets painted over cracks in the road or some of those ground out lines. Mm-hmm. It detects those. Sometimes it's like puddles. If it detects like the reflection in the pattern it's expecting,
yeah.
It's like, holy crap, you're going to leave a lane, and it will swerve, and it does it on the highway sometimes. Uh-huh. And it is terrifying. And it does it when your hands are on the wheel and it just jerks to the side and you're like, oh, geez. And then we turn that off.
Yeah.
Lane assist is a scary feature if it's not working perfectly.
Well, it's a scary feature if you're not on a road that's like brand new, basically.
Yeah. Somebody else who was working on automation for that was actually going to compete against Amazon directly and drone delivery. So automated self-flying drones
mm-hmm.
around New York, I think is pretty sure what it was too. Like, start these smaller. Less problem. I'll admit, a drone definitely is a bigger problem.
Well,
having issues falling out of the sky versus your burrito delivery robot.
Depends on how big the drone is, but yeah.
Yeah, a decent size. Well, it doesn't have to be that big if you've got those blades spinning and, mm-hmm. and it hits someone. Like, you're going to do some damage.
Well,
especially if they're not expecting
less damage.
Covers around them, but yeah.
The drones can have safety equipment too. Like, they could have a parachute. Like, if the drone just loses power,
they can also have those.
It could drop a parachute.
Plastic things around the blades too, which would help a little bit.
Little cages.
Okay, the drone drops out of the sky. It may kill somebody. It may fall on somebody. It also may fall on nothing. It may just hit the ground done. A car's driving down the road. The car screws up. It was going to kill somebody.
Yeah. The cars, though, they are demoing them. Like, they were doing Arizona for a while, and then one of, I think it was Uber's cars, ran over a bicyclist or someone in a
crosswalk. Somebody crossing a road in an area that was not supposed to be marked. Nobody even knows it. Looking at the video.
At night, and they kind of ran out in front of the car. But still, like...
area has high hits.
Yeah. So a person probably would have hit that same person.
Yeah. They do have, like, those smaller markets, though, that they're demoing in. And then they also have, like, Tesla. They have all of that test data from every mile driven autonomously. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they have a huge amount of test data.
Yeah, I think Tesla is starting small with their autopilot. Like, that is a starting small, having the autopilot that goes on and drives. And they've said... It's kind of gone back and forth with whether or not they're as safe or less safe than not having it. But I think one of the dangers you have with this sort of technology is that you just put too much faith in it and you go, oh, well, it can take care of it. And you just stop paying attention. You just can't do that. If you're behind the wheel in 2019, you need to be paying attention to what's going on the road. Like, that's the end. Full stop. So these things can help you be more safe, but you have to work with the technology, and you can't just expect the technology to do everything yet. But the way things are advancing, I mean, it's not going to take that long. I'm planning on getting a Tesla in 4 years, and I'm hoping that it'll be self-driving when I get to that point.
Okay, that's also something else. Children that are born today, what do you think? Do you think they're going to need driver's license?
They may never get a driver's license.
And I'm not talking like, you know, like New York, obviously, that's one thing. No. I'm talking like worldwide.
The generation.
Worldwide, yes.
Why?
Well, go on.
Okay, we'll get to that.
So the generation that is like my children, so kids born in like the 2000s.
Okay.
Right? They're in their 20s and whatnot. And it seems to be, I haven't looked up the stats, but anecdotally where I live, a much smaller percentage of them have driver's licenses than my generation. Everybody in my generation like had driver's licenses. And there's a lot of people that I know that are in their 20s, like their early 20s, that just haven't bothered to get one. And that's not even because of they don't like they just get rides or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And in the bigger places with like Uber and and with better with public transportation. System, yeah. You know, it's not even necessary. I think the idea that everybody needs to have their own car is starting to fade away. It's a generational change, and it's going to be different.
Lease a car or
and
something like that.
Yeah, you know,
or lease the time of the car.
Yeah. You just say I need to go to work. So a car comes and picks you up and takes you to work, and then you know you don't have. Yeah. It's expensive to own a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like just owning a car is like $6,000-$7,000 a year, and that's if nothing's wrong with it. Right? That's just gas and insurance and like
oil change and
rotation,
general rotation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like $6,000 to $7,000 to own any car.
And the payment on it for
that just adds to it.
And yeah.
So and it's just really expensive, and you know, why pay for that when you could just have
I very much see a fraction of that. The self driving car is becoming not more for like privately driven stuff, but more for I'm gonna rent this car. Take me from here to here.
Right.
And then those cars just kind of drive around or maybe park.
Right. Gets rid of the taxi cab and things like that. That's one thing, though. I had heard a news report that said that self-driving cars do have the potential to increase traffic congestion. Mm-hmm. Because if I've got a car that can drive itself, right, am I going to pay $15 to park when I can just tell the car, well, drive around for an hour and come back and get me? An hour worth of gas is much less than $15 to park that thing.
Yeah. You also, potentially, though, if a lot of cars are self-driving, they could go faster.
That's true.
So that's something else that's brought up is apparently there's some research that we, like, also, like, how we, the ability, not only can they go faster, all that, but the ability to congestion, all that. Mm-hmm. Congestion still will happen. We have naturally created a result. We see the patterns ourselves. We are naturally automation would only increase us by like 5%. So yes, there's an increase, but it's not ridiculous.
Well, a lot
on the other side, though, is like you said, hey, I don't want to park. Go drive around. Go find another parking spot. I need you back here at Rex.
Right. So From what I'd heard, and this is just something I heard, I haven't researched it, and so take this with a grain of sand. Salt?
Not salt. It's supposed to be salt.
Salt, yes.
You could do sand.
A grain of salt. It's sort of like crunchy. Some pepper. A peppercorn. Take this with a peppercorn. But they'd said that the actual congestion, in a lot of times, traffic jams, like the big ones in the cities and whatnot, isn't from people getting on and off the freeway. It's from people slowing down because the person in front of them slowed down. Mm-hmm. And that will amplify as it goes mm-hmm. backwards. But
it'll amplify for miles.
Yeah. If your cars are talking to each other or they're better at telling them that, they don't have to stop as much. They can just keep going. And if they're all talking to each other, they can just stay as one unit. And then, like, we're opening a spot for this car, and that car pops in, and you're good.
It's also caused by, because, like, you're supposed to, when you merge, you're supposed to be doing kind of like a zipper. Where mm-hmm. no one does that.
People don't want to let people in.
It's because mm-hmm. I'm here, I'm first, me first.
Yeah, basically.
Well, and I waited in line so that I'm here, and you just pulled way ahead of everybody, and you're going to get in front of me? No, screw you.
Oh, I mean,
yeah, the person that drives down the side
and
lane.
And then that is a case where I kind of don't want to let them in, but they're going to go in anyways.
Well, they should, though, for proper traffic flow. They should in. They should absolutely go in, but you don't want to because it doesn't seem fair.
You don't want to reward being mean to everybody.
But it's not really being mean. I mean, you think about it. They're driving, like, you probably should have been in that other lane being the one doing mm-hmm. that yeah. going forward.
You
but
just didn't
want
to have to deal with
yeah,
the
you
merging.
Just didn't want to have to try but to also merge knowing, because someone's not going to let you merge.
But also knowing that this is going to happen anyways, you get in line like everyone else did because the line already exists. That other lane probably should have stayed empty.
Well, I mean, it depends on how many cars. Yeah, but you got three or four cars. You could stay in one line. That's no big deal. But you got, like, you know, 10 cars
a back. A quarter mile back.
You need to have those two lines filled, and you need to merge properly when you get together.
So that you don't back up onto the interstate.
Right.
Which happens all the time here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think where automated cars don't have a sense of justice and don't have a sense of fairness and don't have this road rage going on, like, it will solve a lot of those problems.
There is a thing,
just
though,
because there's no ego.
If they don't communicate with each other and if there's no regulation, I don't think they will, then it's kind of a... They won't be as safe as they could be.
I've given my car the aggressive mode, so it doesn't let other cars merge.
There's that, but I
just
mean like having just different manufacturers. If they're not talking the same language, this car's got to treat this car as if it were being driven by a human.
Right. Well, and I think that's going to happen in the short term anyways. I think what I'm talking about is long term.
Right.
Yeah, Samsung's going to come out with a Bixby car, and it's only going to speak Bixby.
I hate you, Joey.
No, it's going to have to speak Bixby in addition to everything else. But we probably should wrap things up. We're getting there.
Yeah.
So, famous last words.
Bixby rules all. I don't know. I don't like Bixby either.
Geeks are tired.
Yes.
I like pink ping pong balls.
I hate Bixby.
Did you realize that if you spell out every number starting at 1... You would have to get to 1,000 before you use the letter A once.